Let's do something a little different tonight. Let's open to Romans chapter 8. Let's read through it. And let's have a morning worship tonight, okay? Romans chapter 8. We're going to ask a few people to help us read and then have a little time for some comments. What God has made a blessing to you. And then we'll see what God will do for us along those lines tonight. I never experienced anything quite like that before. I said, don't sit down unless you have a testimony. And it was like standing in the boat and saying, peace, be still. The waves went down. The wind stopped. But there was Kenny. Thanks, Kenny. Okay, if you're not comfortable reading when I call on you, read anyway. No. Nudge the person next to you. I know we have different translations. That's why we do it this way. And, it's a big chapter, but we can get through it, 39 verses. Let's do that 5 verse a piece, okay? And then we'll have a few verses left over at the end. Sister Lisa, can you start, please? Romans chapter 8, 1 through 5.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of light in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit.
Praise God. Sister Alice, could you read with us, please? Verse 6.
For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness.
Praise God. Sage, can you read verse 11? And 5 verses there.
And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live according to the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you might live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father.
Praise God. Jeffrey, please. 16.
The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs of Christ. Provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation awaits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope.
Amen. Joel. Please, 21.
The creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption to the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors and birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, for hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, eagerly and wait for it with perseverance.
Praise God. Sister Aletha, please, 26.
In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified.
Praise God. Brother Jim, with a southern accent, could you read 31 for us?
What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's grace? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather than is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us.
Amy Snyder, please. Okay.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or cruel sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. Thank you to all of you. Praise God. Let's take a moment to look upon this chapter. And I know it's a familiar chapter to us because it's so rich with blessing. We've, I'm sure, all spent time meditating in Romans chapter 8 and claiming these wonderful promises of God's Spirit's working in our lives and asking him to help us to yield ourselves, learn how to yield ourselves to his Spirit's help and working in prayer, in obedience, in holiness, in the love of God. Praise God. So feel free. We'll give you a little time to do that. Amen.
Verse is always a blessing to me, and I always say, often claim it, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is a difference between conviction and condemnation. The Lord may convict us of something, and we put it under the blood, we repent, and then the enemy tries to condemn us after that, when it's under the blood. It's one of his trickiest things, I believe. Especially, I think, in young people, where you there's a part of Reformed theology that talks about total depravity. And even though we belong to the Lord, and even though we have are born again, our sins are under the blood, there's just something in us that is totally depraved. And the enemy would like to use those things. Recently, a thought came to me. It wasn't an unclean thought, but it was a crazy thought that was not really what I believed or what I thought. It was like someone else had thought this. And I had to give it to the Lord, because that was not me. And there is no condemnation And what a wonderful thing when we can claim that verse, there is no condemnation. It's under the blood. So let's not let the enemy use that against us. It's a wonderful, wonderful verse and a wonderful weapon. There is no condemnation. But to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We have to walk in the Spirit. We have to constantly be realizing our need of Him and that constant cleansing. But it's there for us.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Well, I have to pick up from there because Paul talks about total depravity and the contrast between Romans 8, verse 2, and what you have in Romans 7. For example, verse 21, where he says, I find a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. That's the scriptural expression of that total depravity. You want to do something, and you find your nature has a bent. Your nature has tremendous power. It can force you into a direction, something you don't even have to think about. You don't have to decide, oh, what should I do? It's already too late. You're already all the way down the wrong road. And, you know, as Christians coming into an understanding of the power of the Spirit, we don't want to confess that power of the enemy, because the Scripture tells us that where sin abounded, grace much more abounded. And so this is the law, this is the principle, this is the power in Romans 8:2 that not counterbalances that, but totally defeats it, totally overwhelms that. It's a completely different kind of life. The law of the Spirit, of life in Christ Jesus, a completely different kind of law, not something that came from Satan, not something that came from Adam, not something in the depths of your sin nature, but here He comes with this power of the Spirit, this law, this power, this principle of life in Christ Jesus. No wonder it says, old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. This type of man is completely different. You know, when the Lord said, let us make man in our own image, it wasn't Adam who when tempted to say, oh, would you like to sin against God? His answer was, sure. That's not like Christ. That's not the image of God. This is a man in the image of God. This is a person filled with the Spirit of God. And I feel like so often Christians live in defeat, and it's easy to do that, to say Satan is the powerful one, our nature is the powerful one. But no, the Scripture tells us otherwise. Jesus is the powerful one. This Spirit is the life. This is the Christian life right here. And so I want to see that principle come out of Scripture and flow in our midst so that we live this way.
Yes, amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Verse 18 really spoke to me. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. During this year in Texas, the church we went to, we had a worship time during Wednesdays, and I went to that, and when I was worshiping, I felt like such great joy and happiness entered into me, and I was so shocked. I've never felt such happiness before, and I got like a quick glimpse of just what I love to do, drawing. I started sketching lately, and I knew that like it's just such great happiness, and the glory that's going to be shown to us, if that's the happiness, what else should we worry about? Just worry about how much more we can get.
Oh wow, I'm actually standing. Just sort of adding on to what you mentioned about total depravity. I know we're kind of coming back to that, but there's a warning that I learned a while ago that kind of throws onto that total depravity. And when the Bible says we're totally depraved, it absolutely means it. And the reason why a lot of parts, you know, I would argue, the reason why a lot of parts of the Bible say that our works are like filthy rags is because even if we do something good, like, you know, giving money to the needy or helping out at a soup kitchen or helping with disaster relief, there's always something in you that prides itself in that. Example I remember reading out of one of my favorite books of all time, The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. The main demon was having complications with his patients. Like, how can I get him to be prideful? And, you know, Screwtape was like, well, have you thought to make him aware that the fact that he's being humble? Make him prideful in his own humility? So, you know, kind of throwing back onto that absolute depravity, even when we're humble, we can't help but think in the back of our heads, gosh, I sure am humble. And the sort of segue into another thing that's sort of, there's a verse in there that really helped me change my mindset when it came to working toward God. That might be the wrong language I just used, but we'll go into that later, or maybe not at all. But I'm not going to stand here. I'm not going to stand up forever. The final verses there. What was it? Thank you. Final verses 38 through 39. Where it talks about, and there's nothing, no powers, no angels, height, depth, can separate us from the love of Christ. And there's some other verses in the Bible that help reinforce this, my belief that now that I'm a saved Christian, I cannot lose my salvation. There's nothing I can do that will make me lose that. And for me, that really made things super easy, I should say. And allow me to explain. Back throughout high school, I had this really bad problem with my mindset. Because on one hand, I wanted to do things for God, for my love for God, but I was afraid of losing my salvation. I was thinking, okay, I'm gonna help the needy, I'm gonna help with this, I'm gonna help with that. Why? Because I don't want to go to hell. No, wait, that's the wrong mentality. I shouldn't be doing this because I want heaven. I should be doing this because I love Christ. So eventually when I discovered and verified with a lot of, you know, some of my church elders and people who I regard as extremely knowledgeable on the scriptures, after they helped me realize that, no, you're saved. You've already got heaven. That's already under your belt. You don't have to worry about losing your seat. That shifted my mindset. And now I'm no longer working toward heaven. I'm not afraid of losing that. I'm now working because I love Christ. So that's all I got. Thank you. Okay.
Praise God. Yes, let's live to glorify Jesus. We owe him so much and we can't give enough.
Amen. Okay, so Romans 8:37, the verse, yet in all those things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. It reminds me of how Paul, he was just a simple man, and he turned to Saul. That kids at my school, as much as that makes me feel torn, I just want to break down, but you just have to pray for someone that makes you just feel torn no matter what. Because you want to bless them. You want to make them feel better. You want to make them a better person no matter what.
Praise God. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing.
Verse 5. and 6. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. For those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on flesh is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. When I read that 6th verse, it doesn't say for to set the mind on the flesh is possibly death. It doesn't say to set the mind on flesh, you might die, you might live. It doesn't have any maybes. It says if you set your mind on flesh, the result is death. There's a direct cause and effect. And when looking at that, I begin to think, what do I set my mind on? When I think of camp, there's a lot of things I think about. I think of all the good times I've had. I think of the nearness of God here. But you know, I can never escape, when thinking about camp, all the camp rules. they always come to mind somehow. I don't know how that is. And
conviction.
And you know, it's funny. Some of the rules growing up, you know, you look at these rules and you're like, what in the world is that there for? I was going through the guidelines with Danny this week. And looking at all the rules, and there's so many of them. Actually, when people ask me about camp, I start to talk about it, and I say, you know, maybe you should just come, because we don't have to talk about all the rules right now. And then, this is going to be, don't worry, Brother Paul, this is going to be okay. I think I've come to the realization that these rules have a purpose. I recorded a promotional video for the youth retreat to be shown at the youth retreat going through the camp rules. So usually Brother Isaac so graciously gives the camp rules, but I told him he's getting a little too long, so I'm going to shorten it and just make a video about it. And the video ends with, these rules aren't in place because we hate you, they're in place because we love you. What does that mean? Well, I think part of the reason those rules are in place is to set our minds on things of the Spirit. Sure, some of these rules might seem extreme. Sure. You ever heard that expression, you give an inch, it'll take a mile?
Yeah.
That's how I am. Speak about totally depraved, I am helpless on my own. You give me an inch of sin, I'll take that mile. I was recently talking with Danny, and I was saying how my thoughts just race through my mind all the time. And I was sympathizing with millennials, because I was saying, you know, the world's so much more connected nowadays. So much more, and that's so great. And also so terrible. Because to our detriment, Brother Kenny, your generation, they never thought about Instagram while they were in meeting. They never felt a vibration in their pocket, and then their mind started racing. They never had access to all these different things. I have it at my fingertip. I have access to the whole world at my fingertip. And it's so, so, so easy to set my mind on the flesh. Dang, I'm going to blow up your spot. I've been friends with Danny for a while, and he's been a blessing to me. In other circles, you would look like a dork in this situation, but you're going to look like a hero here. We were going to watch a movie together, me and a couple friends and Danny, and it was a scary movie, whatever. And you know, we were about to watch this, and Danny was like, "Nah, man, I don't want to watch this." And I was like, "What, you're scared?" And he's like, "This, quote unquote, this is what he said. He said, no, I don't want to be desensitized to the Holy Spirit." And I burst out laughing at him. But you know, in thinking back at that, that is so true. It is so, so true. The things I allow into my eyes, the things I allow into my ears, that gets into my heart. That's the things that I think on. I was talking to another friend, all my friends, we try to set our minds on the right thing, and he was saying how he just wants to get rid of his phone. He wants to smash it and get one of the staff members have a really old phone, I won't say who. But they have a phone. The only thing you can do is text your buddies on it, and that's the only thing that he wants his phone for. Because the world's open to him on that phone. so easy to set my mind on the things of the flesh. But here you read it, to set your minds on the things of the flesh is death. How careful we have to be to set our minds on the things of Christ. And this is just a song that me and this friend, we pray together once in a while. It says, may the mind of Christ my Savior live in me from day to day, by his love and power controlling all I do and say. And there are six verses, so I won't read them all, but that has been my prayer quite often throughout this year. I've committed it to memory, and I've forgotten it a few times. I know, Sister Alice, your dad committed the New Testament to memory and forgot it a few times, so I'll put myself in that boat. First verse of a two-line song in New Testament, same boat. But I've tried committing this to memory, and just so I can think on things of the Spirit and not the flesh.
Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Set me on the mind of Jesus. Make me holy as he is. May I prove I've been with Jesus, who is all my righteousness.
My wife was in a Bible study at the Word of Life. We live up here, and we sought church fellowship, and we attended the church in Mountain up at Schoon Lake, affiliated with the Word of Life for 25 years. And she attended a ladies' Bible study, and they were just talking to one another, I guess during or before. And this young lady, all young mothers, Mary's young mother then too, and they were just saying where they came from, and Mary said, we live at Pilgrim Camp for the church. And one of these ladies says, I was there. Man, they have a lot of rules. But then she paused and said, What do you want? There's a price to pay, right? There's a price to pay. We need to yield our lives to Christ if we want Christ. And I tell you, it's worth it. It really is worth it. I lived in the world for 20 years. I experienced the things of the world. But when I found Jesus, I found the answer of life. And no, nothing can compare with that. And so it wasn't hard for me to say no to the world. It wasn't hard for me to say yes to the rules, because I was here to find God. I was so impressed with Brother Kenny's father, Richie Friedman, said once, Kenny quoted it. There were people who had trouble with the rule that you have to wear, the young men, have to wear a shirt at the beach. So they don't spoil their whatever. Right?
Buffness?
That didn't start that way, right?
It was the opposite.
So Mr. Freeman said, they have a problem with wearing the shirt at the beach. I'd wear an overcoat at the beach just so I could be here, he said. It just shows you, when you mean business with God, these little things don't really matter. They're not obstacles. They're enhancements if you yield to them and just conform to them. And we're not here to emphasize rules, but we're here to emphasize, let's do all we can to find Jesus.
Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Verse 32 stood out to me here. I'll just read it to refresh our memory. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? I've been thinking a lot about recently the fact that, you know, we read so much about the power of the Holy Ghost and all the great things the apostles were able to do through the power of the Holy Ghost. And we can have all that today. We just have to take hold of that. The other day we were reading in Romans 4 about Abraham's faith, and he took hold of God's promise. And God has promised to fill us with the Spirit and to give us that new life. And I had the opportunity to be here during the Chinese retreat, and they talked about the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost of fire, and how it's so vital to our walk with God. The Holy Spirit opens the Scriptures to us. It helps us to know Jesus and helps us to serve Him better, you know. And I want to have faith to take hold of that promise.
Amen. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, sweet Spirit.
Verse 5, which Tim already spoke about, but it just says, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh, and those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And I've just, for the last couple of months, you know, been seeking the Lord about certain things, and He's really begun to reveal Himself to me in a new way. And it's been exciting and just, it's been really great, and I just, you know, I was really anxious to get up here to camp and to seek the Lord, and I've been really praying about being up here with the staff and for the girls especially that I'm working with. But we got here last night, my brother John and I, and we got here, and usually, you come on these grounds, and everyone says that you can just feel the Spirit of the Lord here. He is here, and I was ready and prepared. Sister Ruby came home to our church right after the Chinese retreat, and she had just me in tears. Just her testimony was so powerful what the Lord did for her while she was here that week. And so I was just ready to kind of get up here and get some of that for myself. And so we got here last night, and I just was struggling. You know, I just was having such a difficult night, and I came into the prayer meeting last night after the meeting, and Sister Martha stopped me and prayed with me, which was very good for me last night. And then this morning, our Sister Crystal had such a powerful testimony during our women's devotions, and I just, you know, the Lord, I've been struggling because I'm trying so hard to just be in that and to receive what He has for me, and to have my mind on the things of the Spirit, but I'm having such a struggle in my flesh. And in my study Bible, it says, the Greek word that's used for this phrase, set their minds, includes a person's will, thoughts, and emotions, but it also includes assumptions, values, desires, and purposes. So setting our minds on the things of the flesh or the things of the Spirit means being oriented to or governed by those things on which we focus. And so that's my struggle, is to be focused on the things of God, focused on the things of the Spirit. And I kind of had the same thought about all the rules that we have here at camp, and Brother Tim already talked about it, a couple other people, so I don't want to harp on that. It's not, I love the rules here, and I remember, and I tell my parents this all the time, when I first started on staff, I was coming up here first period under Brother Kenny many years ago, there was just one phone out in front of the office that you used your calling card to call home, or you wrote letters, and then that was really your only connection to the world outside of camp. And like Tim said, it's at our fingertips now, and it's so distracting, and just the drama of other people's lives and the things that are happening out in the world that are just so distressing, and it's And it's heartbreaking, and it's hard to remove ourselves from that. But that's why we're here, is to remove ourselves from that world and to focus on God and the things of the Spirit. And that's why we have these rules like no computers and music and magazines and things of the world. We're supposed to be separating ourselves from those things. And so I just want to encourage the staff and our guests as well to really do your best to remove yourself from those things. Focus on the things of the Spirit. Because that's where we're going to be oriented. When we set our minds on those things, are we setting our minds on the things of the flesh or on the things of the Spirit? Because that's where my attitude is going to come from. If I'm having a bad attitude, it's because I'm focusing on those things of the flesh and not the things of the Spirit. And so I feel like I've been struggling, but I know that, you know, God's going to come through and he's going to bless me. And so I wanted to share a little bit of encouragement with you.
Praise God. Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. Wean it through from earth, through all its pulses move. Stoop to my weakness, mighty. Sing that song that's in our white book, Spirit of God, number 75. Thank you. Praise God. I'm glad for all that we heard tonight. And I probably cut people off, but you know, that's how I drive. You got to do it once in a while. Guess we have to get to bed somewhere along the way, right? Praise God. And we want some time to seek the Lord tonight as well.